If you'd like to open your Bibles, the reading this evening is from Philippians. It's Philippians chapter 1, and on the church Bibles is on page 1178. Philippians 1, verses 1 to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of our God. Before Dan comes to explain that to us, let's just commit it to prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for Dan. Thank you that you have chosen him to work in this church. And we just pray for him now as he comes to speak to us. May you anoint him with your spirit so that we hear the words you would have us hear this evening. Open our hearts to receive your word, we pray. In your name, amen.
Great. Well, if you'd like to keep Philippians open in front of you as we go through it together. Well, do you know, the story goes that before the 2003 Rugby World Cup, the England team decided to put in place some key rules that the whole team would agree to and abide by as they trained and geared themselves up for the World Cup. And one of these rules was that every player on the team was to arrive at the morning meeting 5 minutes before the meeting actually started. Anything less would be totally unacceptable. Well, it was on one morning that one player on the team was horrifically late. He was 3 minutes early and not five. Walking into the room, the players and the staff sat down and said to him, "You have just cost us the World Cup." Fortunately, England did go on to win it. So there you go, didn't matter too much. But although they seem like very tough measures to put in place, it does show the value that they placed on every member of the team playing their part in the work. Without the whole team on board, striving together as one team, things might have looked very different. And you know, this evening it's the same for us as we start this book of Philippians that we're going through in our evenings together. Because we see from our passage that as a church family, we are in partnership together. We're on a team. You could say that we belong to the family firm. And so because we are as a church in partnership with one another, whether we are young or not so young, it means that what we do, how we serve, how we walk with others is of critical importance. Because even if one member of the team isn't involved, it has an effect on the rest. And more importantly, the work that we are striving together for. Because it's a partnership that is in the gospel. This life-transforming news of Christ's victory over sin and death, his way of rescue to all who would believe and make him king. This gospel which started in a Middle Eastern city that has started and travelled through continents and countries, being believed by drunks and kings that spanned thousands of years, even to us here in Caterham. That is what our partnership is centered around, this gospel that unites us. And while these opening verses of Philippians tells us what this partnership is and how we are to live it out. In fact, a way that you could sum up the whole book of Philippians, I think, could be united in joyful gospel partnership. United in joyful gospel partnership. And that is exactly what we are going to find out at the start here in the letter. And I've divided our passage this evening into two parts. And the first part for us this evening is gospel partners remain united. Gospel partners remain united from verse 1 to 8. Well, if we look to the start of Philippians, we see right at the start Paul's customary greeting. And it might seem on the surface of things that it looks like all the rest that Paul writes, but still we get a hint of what Paul wants to say in the rest of the letter. In verse 1, it says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. This letter that we are going through is addressed to everyone at Philippi. Everyone is addressed, the whole church. And so what Paul wants to say, he wants to say to everyone, because he knows that the partnership that he's going to explain in these next verses affects everyone. This isn't just for one group in the church or another. This is for the whole church. In verse 2, it says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know whether you've ever had an impression of Paul that he's kind of this lone wolf, and that he does everything by himself. He works best alone. Well, do you know, in these opening verses of Philippians, it's not that case at all, is it? Paul, he loves being in partnership. He loves being united with other Christians, with this Philippian church. And he thanks God for it. And when he's praying, it just brings him joy as he's thinking about all of those Christians in Philippi that he serves with, that are partnered with him in the gospel. And we get a sense of why Paul feels this way for this church in Philippi, because at the end of Philippians, in chapter 4, verse 15, he says, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. This church that Paul is writing to, it seems, when it had only just received the gospel, baby Christians, they decided to support Paul when no one else would. And not just once, but whenever Paul was in need. And so this Philippian church, it seems, is partly responsible for Paul's gospel tour being kept alive. You see, gospel partners remain united. The Philippians, they could have left Paul like every other church. They didn't need to support Paul. They just received the gospel. But they supported him when no one else would. Gospel partnership means that we remain united. And Paul shows that in verse 5 when he says that their partnership was from the first day until now. Nothing has separated them. And Paul says in verse 6 that nothing will separate them in the future. He says, being confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That work that Paul is talking about, it's the gospel work. The gospel going to all nations. Paul says that work that is beginning in you, Christ will carry that on. And isn't that an amazing assurance for us here at Oakhall Church? That he who is doing a good work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Because it means that our partnership in the gospel can never be in vain. As we serve in youth groups throughout this week, and every time we share the gospel with these young people, every time it's not in vain. Because God says that his work will be completed. It will carry on. Isn't that a huge encouragement every time we share the gospel? And Paul, in the rest of this first section, again emphasizes the Philippians' unity in gospel partnership. Verse 7, look with me, it says, "It is right for me to feel this way about you all, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how long for all of you, how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." You see, though the Philippians had already given to Paul financially when he was in most in need, we see in these verses that the Philippian church, they decided to go one step further in gospel partnership. You see, they even share in Paul's imprisonments. Do you see that? And sufferings when he's publicly confirming the gospel. That word that you see in verse 7, share, that's the same word as partnership, same Greek word back in 1:5. So you could say, all of you partnered in God's grace with me. Partnership, it shares with one another. And so in this first section of Philippians, we see what partnership is. Partnership is gospel work. It's proclaiming. It's financing. It's supporting. It's sharing in all that entails. Gospel partners remain united. You know, when you're at school tomorrow, or you're at college, or university, wherever you may be, and you know in your school there's always that one Christian that is just so loud about their faith, and all of your school friends, they just think they are so weird, and they start saying, "Oh, have you met that person? He keeps talking about Jesus. So weird." Well, do you know, partnership explained by Paul, and partnership modelled by these Philippians, well, it looks like remaining united not with your friends who think that they're weird, but it looks like uniting with your brother or sister that everyone thinks is weird. It stands with them, and it embraces the shame that that comes with. Because you see, when Paul was in chains and suffering, it would have been so shameful to have been associated with him. He's the man that gets beaten up in every city. He's the man that causes riots. He's the man that can't stop talking about Jesus. And yet, whatever Paul went through, the Philippians remained united with him in gospel partnership. And so for us here this evening, as part of this family, this team of partners working together for the gospel, well, it is crucial that we stand with each other, even when it would be shameful too. It's tough, right? But gospel partners remain united. Well, the second thing that we're going to see in our passage is gospel partners continue to grow. Gospel partners continue to grow, verses 9 to 11. You see, having shared the joy, having shared the blessing that these Philippians have been in gospel partnership, Paul then in verses 9 to 11, he says a prayer to close off this first section. And you know, when we look at this prayer, it's a prayer that doesn't want this church to stand still. Do you know the great sports teams in history, Newcastle United, and the great corporations of the world? Do you know they all have one thing in common? They never settle. They keep striving to be better and better, to be more effective and more profitable. And whilst that has negative consequences sometimes, here I think in this prayer, Paul wants that same thing. Not for more and more profit, but what is it? More and more love. More and more fruit, verse 11. Filled, not just to have a piece of the fruit, but to be filled with the fruit of righteousness. Because, you know, it would have been so easy for these Philippians to read Paul's letter and go, we're pretty good. Do you know, this opening remark in Philippians is the best opening remark from Paul to any church in the New Testament. They are model partners. But Paul, he doesn't want them to stand still. He doesn't want them to settle with how they are, but aim to abound in love, to increase in knowledge, to be pure and blameless for when Christ comes. Gospel partners, they don't stand still. Gospel partners continue to grow. And so this evening, I wonder, are we striving or are we settling? Are we striving to sort of grow in love for one another? You know, Paul, in later on in Philippians 2, verse 2, he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Because as we grow in love for our church family, our unity in partnership will increase. You see, Paul knows that if gospel partnership is to be effective, gospel partners must be fully united, abounding and growing in love for one another. Do you know, it's why Satan's foothold in the church, described in Ephesians, is bitterness and anger in the church. But this love that Paul wants us to abound in towards one another is coupled with words like knowledge, as we see in verse 9. Knowledge, insight, to discern what is best. You know, Alec Mortier, famous preacher, says about this verse, he says, in other words, love needs divine illuminative knowledge in order to know what to love, and discernment to know how to love. This love modeled on the love of Christ. Isn't that great? And so as we pray tomorrow morning, as we wake up for another day at work or another day at school, we pray, Lord, let my love for you, let my love for others abound more and more. But Lord, let that love come with knowledge and discernment. Teach me what to love and teach me how to love, modeled on the love of Christ. What a prayer that is. What a prayer. And you know, all of these words, they're thinking words. And as we go through Philippians together, we're going to see how thinking and the mind is key to what Paul is sharing with these Philippians. Because partnership in the gospel, it has a particular mindset. And so when Paul says he wants to discern what is best, well, at the end of the book, in 4 verse 8, we see Paul, he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. As gospel partners, we're to grow in our thinking, becoming able to discern what is best. Things, as at the end of Philippians say, are excellent and praiseworthy. So that at the end of our passage, we may be filled with this fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's where it ends at our passage tonight. To the glory and praise of God. We do not grow because it works our way to heaven. We do not grow because it would just be a nice thing to do. We grow because we're united in the gospel. And that ultimately leads to the glory and praise of God. Gospel partners continue to grow. Like an athlete when preparing for their race, never settles for their personal best, but aims to beat it every race, becoming faster and stronger and fitter every day. And that comes through eating the right things, right? Doing the right things. And on some days, doing the things you really don't want to do. And as gospel partners here this evening, people changed by Jesus, people rescued by him, well, day by day, we have his Holy Spirit working within us. You see, it might sound like a bit of a fairy tale, all of these things written out in Philippians, to abound in love and, and knowledge and discernment. But the Holy Spirit gives us the power to be like that athlete, to grow each and every day for the work of gospel partnership. And so just as that England rugby team saw the essential value of every team member playing their part, Paul in our passage this evening outlines the astronomic value of gospel partnership, a partnership that supported his ministry, a partnership that shared in his sufferings, a partnership that is to grow in love and fruitfulness, a partnership you and I are called into this evening, a partnership that is tough to be a part of at times, yet a partnership that brought Paul immense joy, a partnership that can bring us this evening such an all-consuming joy as we strive for the gospel, a partnership in the most important work in the whole world, work that we need to be united in and growing in every day. Well, we're going to have some time to discuss some questions that are hopefully going to come up on the screen over these next few minutes. If you want to turn around in your tables, discuss these questions, and then we'll come back and Carl will lead us in the rest of our time together.